All right, all I've got tonight is Psalms 107. I felt to do this one. Okay, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." What might he mean by his mercy? His love. That's right, his kindness, his benevolence, his pity, his favor, his desire, his grace. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So we're supposed to do what? Say so, right? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We're supposed to say we are, right? And gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. All right, if you find, you can find this all through this psalm where they go from doing real good to doing real bad, to doing real good to doing real bad, going up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. So does anybody ever feel like that? Yeah. So they dwelled in a, or they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. Wilderness, we think of woods, you know, here. We don't really know what they meant by a woods. When they, or a wilderness, when they said wilderness, they really meant a really hard place. It's like desert, dry. There really wasn't anything around. You can probably go out in the woods in this country and survive and eat off the land. Where they were talking about as a wilderness, you just hardly couldn't survive.
Because the reference here says desolate.
Yep.
It was desolate. Yeah.
Really dry, harsh, a bad place. So they found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. The Lord saw them in their situation. He didn't pull them out right away, did he? Mm-hmm. When did he pull them out?
When they cried.
When they cried. It wasn't just a little whimper, right?
They had to really humble themselves down.
Right. And cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation, a dwelling place or an assembly place, a place where people, you know, where things are maybe convenient, better place to live, say. That way we do sometimes, we get in a place where there's a wilderness, a dry place, and then we start crying out to God and begin to seek God. And what's he do for us? He brings us in the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. In other words, I believe it's a place where God's people is. You know, the devil wants us out into a woods. Mm-hmm. He leads you out into a dry place and gets you away from church and gets you away from God's people and out into a dry land and into a wilderness where there's, you know, no water and it's hard, you know, and harsh. But if you cry out to God, God brings you back right in the midst of his people. And right where he would have you to be, in fellowship with people that serve the Lord and fellowship with God, see. It says, verse 8 says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." This is a verse that is repeated through this psalm. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." In other words, oh, that they'd be lifting up God. Oh, that they'd be praising God for his goodness. and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, we'd be lifting him up. I believe if we were really doing that, we wouldn't find ourselves out in the wilderness, would we? No, we wouldn't. Oh, that we would, see the goodness of God and praise him for his wonderful works, what he's done for us.
So,
yeah, give thanks, be thankful, and praising God. Oh, that we would do that. Keep us out of that wilderness experience, you know, that place where it's hungry and thirsty and their soul fainted in them, you know, where they wander around in a solitary way, feeling alone, you know, loneliness maybe, you know. They found no city to dwell in. They didn't find any place in this old world. Just wandering around, finding no place, having no goals, having no plans. You know, a lot of people don't have any purpose in their life. But if we learn to praise the Lord for his goodness, he'd give us direction. And if we're in that kind of situation, you need to cry out to him and start worshiping him and praising him for his goodness. And cry out to him, and he'll bring you out, like it says. It says, and he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Well, God will start leading you. That's what we need. A dwelling place with God. It says that's what it means in the Hebrew, I guess, a dwelling place, an assembly place. You know, where God's people are and where he is, you know. That we'd stay in the Spirit, I think is what he's trying to say. Oh, that we would. You know, it'd be really nifty if we would, you know, stay in the Spirit. And we find ourselves getting out of the Spirit, get back in the Spirit, you know. Cry out to him and start praising him for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. What he's done for us, in other words. It says, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. See, he satisfies the longing soul. He fills the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Listen to this, verse 11 says, because they rebelled. You could underline that, see? Because they rebelled. See? So when we rebel, we sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, see? So sometimes you say, in other words, you're all bound up. You ever heard somebody say, I feel all bound up, all chained. I can't really worship God. I can't pray. I can't hardly sing. I can't even feel like going to church. Why does that usually happen? You say, well, it's just the devil coming up against me. It is the devil, but there's more to it, don't you think?
Sure.
It says, because they
rebelled.
Rebellion became stubborn. They failed to do what God wanted them to do. God spoke to them, and they didn't listen. They rebelled and decided to do what they wanted to do. But there's always a price to pay, is there not, when we rebel against God? It says they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. See? They rebelled against the words of God, verse 11, and contemned the counsel of the Most High. That word contemn means to despise or to scorn, to think to have no value. In other words, God spoke it, oh well. They take it lightly. They don't take it seriously.
No reverence.
And all of a sudden, verse 12 says, therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. See it? Labor. Work. Struggling. Harshness. Hardship. Brought down their heart with labor. Their heart becomes heavy. They're labored. Now, you ever see people in church look like they're so heavy? They're not very light. They're not very happy. They're so heavy. Somber, and they got this mulish look on their face. I always call it the mule look. It's because they've been rebelling. See, against the words of God, they contemned the counsel of the Most High. They didn't take what God said seriously. There's a price to pay. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. They fell. There was none to help because they what? They rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. God speaks to us. It's important that we listen. And we do. If not, you're going to be sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in what?
Affliction.
What's affliction?
Pain.
Pain, sorrow, trouble.
Worry, irritation,
just yuck. Depression. Yeah, anything that's miserable.
Definitely
trouble. Yep. Being bound in it, says. Notice that, it says being bound. You're chained to it. You can't get out from underneath. I don't care if you do go medicate your brain. You know, people believe in taking nerve pills and all this stuff to alleviate the problem. But really, it doesn't alleviate it. It only, maybe just in one sense, numbs you to it. But it postpones it. But it's still there as long as you don't deal with it. You know, that's why I don't believe, you know, a lot of medication, to medicating your brain is the answer. You know, in the long run, I believe it only makes it worse. Drugs, God didn't say that's the answer. He said my word's the answer, not prescriptions, not drugs. He said my word is the answer. You listen to me, you know, and he bring you out. See, this psalm is repetitive.
That's all I could do.
You had a whole bunch of problems. You postponed it all. And then all of a sudden, it's still in your face. And then it's like not taking out the trash. It only makes it worse. And then one day you have to really deal with it. And then what you do, you sit there and you do like Edith said. She sat there and bawled. You know, it only makes it worse. Plus you have another problem. Usually you're addicted to it. So you got something else to deal with. You know, it just makes it worse. What is the answer? Was the answer in the first place? Is that do what God says to do in the first place, right? Don't rebel against the words of God. Don't contemn, in other words, despise His counsel or think it to have no real value. The answer is to do what God says to do, and will you have to take medication to alleviate stuff like depression and so forth? I don't believe so, because the Holy Ghost will bring you up out of depression. If we listen to God, you know, and don't despise His words or count them lightly, I believe we can be walking on the cloud and feel good all the time. We can feel good all the time. I'm not saying your body's always going to feel real good, but your spirit is.
Right.
You're going to feel good in the spirit regardless, you know, because you listen to God, you know. That's it. God will keep you out of depression. If we get depressed, we need to examine what? Ourselves and find out where we got off the path with God. See, this is a result, as the writer wrote here in the book of Psalms, of rebellion. A lot of times is because we're really rebelling against God, and we may say, well, I don't know where I went wrong. Well, cry out to Him and ask Him. You know, you may not really know in one sense, but deep down inside you probably do. Sometimes we just need to cry out to Him and get in contact with Him. Say, God, where did I get off the path? Now I'm feeling depressed and I'm feeling afflicted and I'm in the shadow of death, sitting in darkness and being bound in affliction and irons. The answer here is verse 11 says, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. That's usually the reason, most cases. I know it is because the Word says it is. Verse 13 says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Sometimes we get down like that, we forget to do something. Right? We forget to cry out to God. We cry out to who? Somebody on the telephone. Or some doctor. Or somebody else that you think might help you. Instead of really crying out to who?
God.
He says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. They didn't go to the doctor, thank God. Amen. It says, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out. See that? He brought them out. God wants you to cry out to Him so He can bring you out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands and sunder. In other words, he broke it. You can get it broke tonight, right? If we take heed to God's word. You know, sometimes we want things broken in our life, but we're not willing to go to him and find out where we got off the path in the first place. Right? Mm-hmm. We have to find out where we went wrong. And then cry out to God after we found out where we went wrong. Cry out to him and have him break those chains, right? That's the way it works. But it'd be better that we didn't have to go in, get all bound up in chains of darkness and be afflicted and in iron. And you know what I'm saying? Dwelling out in the wilderness where, you know, they're in a solitary way, feeling lonely, you know, hungry and thirsty, and your soul fainting, you know, you're ready to pass out. Just troubled, right? Oh, that men would, here it is again, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Oh, that we would. And for his wonderful works to the children of men. If we was really praising God, we wouldn't end up out in the wilderness. Well, I really believe a lonely feeling is another result of really rebelling against God. You're going to have loneliness creeping up on you. You know? I mean, you can be in a big crowd and still feel lonely if you've been rebellious. You know, we get rebellious, so that lonesome spirit, you know, is going to follow you. I don't care if you have somebody with you. That's not the answer. What is the answer?
God.
Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. See, that's the answer. That we'd learn how to praise God and that we'd praise him for all the things he's done for us and praise him for his goodness and be thankful and lift him, really lifting him up and doing what he said to do. We don't despise his words. We do what he says to do. That's the prescription against depression, against affliction, a troubled time in our life. When we find ourselves in those troubled times, it's usually because we haven't been doing what God's told us to do. Verse 16 says, "For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder." Get this, verse 17. See, this is going to back it up. This is scripture. Fools, because of their transgression, right? Their trespass. That means trespass. Their rebellion. Remember, we talked earlier about rebellion? Their sin, all right? Fools, because of their rebellion, their trespass, their sin. And because of their iniquities, are afflicted, troubled, sorrowful time. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. See, they draw near unto the gates of death. When you've been real rebellious, you even forget to eat. You're real afflicted, your appetite even goes from you. See, you've been stubborn, you know, you're just miserable. Your body is out of whack. You know, you ever seen anybody that's a basket case, their nerves are shot, so forth? I can tell you why. Rebellion. They're not doing what God's told them to do. They have rebelled. This is what the Bible says. See, they draw near unto the gates of death. They just wish they could die. You know, they don't want to live anymore. They draw nigh to the gates of death. They won't commit suicide, so forth. People commit suicide. Are rebellious. I really believe that. They find themselves in a bad way and in a bad shape. Because I don't believe anybody commits suicide in the Spirit of God. Really don't. I think it's because we get rebellious, then suicide thoughts come to us. We have sidetracked God and rebelled against his counsel, despised his word, or counted it not worth anything. And then a suicide spirit can come to you. Right? Really believe that. This is what the word says. It's not just me. It's what the word says. It says, "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses." See? Over and over and over. This is repeated in our lives, is it not? God deals with this. God speaks to us. We don't take heed to what he says. What happens? We're troubled, we're afflicted over and over, and then we cry out to God, And he breaks the bars of affliction, the bands of affliction, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves, rebellious again. Isn't that way it works? Verse 20 says, he sent his word. I like the scripture. It says, he sent his word. Say, he'll speak to you again. He'll give you direction again, Carl. Ready? Say, he'll speak to you again. He sent his word and healed them. See, he sent his word and healed. That's what we need today to come out of affliction, is his word to be sent to us and for us to take heed to it. In other words, we repent and we do what the word says. And it says, and delivered them from their destructions. He healed them and delivered them from their destructions. What is their destructions? That's our rebelliousness. Their rebelliousness, their own stubborn way will destroy you or them. If we are stubborn and rebellious, we are walking in a path of destruction. We're going to get tore down, see? If we walk in his word, we have life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, see? That's what he intends for us, see? Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Here it is again. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that we would. See, keep right on walking in the Spirit. That's what he's saying. Oh, that we'd keep praising God, being steadfast, not faltering, not failing from doing what God wants us to do. Oh, that we would. See, praise him for his wonderful works to the children of men. And it says, verse 22, and it says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Right? So that we'd sacrifice what? Thanksgiving. Thank offerings. That's what they had in the old day, in the old Bibles. They had thank offerings. That's an offering. See? You thank him. Paul said that you would abound with thanksgiving. He said, this is the will of God, to be thankful. So when you know what the will of God is, what do?
You do it.
You say, well, I didn't thank God today. I haven't thanked God for anything. Well, you've missed the will of God. Maybe that's why you feel the way you are feeling right now, because we haven't been thankful. We haven't offered up any sacrifices. That's right. You're going to give him thanks. You're going to remember to give him thanks. See, that's the will of God. And declare his works with rejoicing. Say, look what God's done for me. Hallelujah. How could you be depressed doing that? Right? You're not going to be. You're going to have to go get a nerve pill doing that. Right? You got to go run to the doctor and say, dope me up, doc. I'm a mess. Dope me, doc. So, you see, God is the high that we need today, right? Jesus will pick us up. Didn't he say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest? Well, that's what he's talking about, see? Remember what we talked earlier about that their hearts were brought down in the labor? Their hearts got real low, because why? They rebelled. We rebel. Let's just face it, we rebel. And then we get depressed. We get out of the will of God. We get depressed. We get afflicted. We don't listen to God. We get afflicted over and over, see. They that go down, verse 23, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Okay, so if you go out and start doing a work for God and you're really serious about it, what is it like going out, having a ship and going out onto the sea? See, you're like a merchant man in one sense. You got your boat out on the sea. Well, anybody knows anything about sailing knows occasionally you run into a big storm. Big waves, yeah. He uses this as another comparison. Also, he was talking about a wilderness, first place, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. First, I think he was talking about a wilderness, dwelling in a solitary way. And what, then he's talking about sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, having their heart brought down with labor. Now he's going to give you another, I believe they call it an analogy, another comparison. It's like people that go down into a ship, sea into the ship, and ships that do business in great waters, verse 23. Verse 24 says, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. See, God is going to perform works and wonders if you step out by faith, see. But look out, okay. Verse 25 says, for he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. Okay, big waves, right? Your boat goes way up, and it goes way down. And it goes way up, and it goes way down. Up and down, up and down. Anybody ever felt that way? For 1 minute, you go, man, I feel great now. And all of a sudden, whoosh.
That's right.
And then all of a sudden, whoop. Then, whoosh. He's commanded the waves. He commanded, raises the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. Verse 26 says, they mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths, down to hell in one sense. Up and down. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Okay. In other words, their soul is dissolved or softened. Maybe they get sort of weepy, you know, tearful and afflicted. You know what I'm saying? They up and down, and up and down. It says, verse 27 says, they reel to and fro. You ever see a drunk walk?
That's worse yet, because you're not only up and down, but you're going back and forth.
You're going back and forth. You're unstable.
That's bad.
You're telling Mark, well, I'll meet you at so-and-so place. And then you don't go. Or you're staggering. You know what I'm saying? You're staggering. You become unstable and unreliable. Undependable. You're fickle pickle.
That's why Mark can get in that big hamburger.
You see what I'm saying? You become even emotionally unstable. Mm-hmm. You may be laughing 1 minute and crying the next.
Mm-hmm.
Up laughing 1 minute and crying the next. You're staggering. Your walk's staggering. You're faithful to God for a week or so, and then your next week you're saying, well, I don't know if I feel like going to church. I don't know. That's walking like a, staggering like a drunk man, it says. It says they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits
end.
And they're about ready to go crazy.
Conclusion of it all.
See, they're just going, they're pulling their hair out. Don't know why all this thing's going on. I'm up 1 minute, down the next, and I'm staggering. I don't know what's going on with me.
Crazy. Too hard. I'm just ready to quit and throw in the towel.
Well, that's staggering, see. That's been up and down and up and down, see? They're at their wits' end. But they finally figure out something. It's like the prodigal son, right?
Right.
Prodigal son got brought down so far that he even desired to eat the corn husks, the husks that the hogs were eating. And all of a sudden he came to himself and he says, I remember what it was at Dad's house, and then I remember that the servants had a lot better. You know, all of a sudden they remember who to call upon. Got it? They remember who to call upon. Verse 28 says, then they cry. See, it's a repeat. Unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. And he bringeth them out. See, it's a promise. If we cry out to him with an honest heart and be sincere, he brings us out. See, he maketh the storm a calm. You're no more staggering around, right? So that the waves thereof are still. you're become stable emotionally, spiritually, and then in every way in your life. You become like a rock, right? You're solid. A rock don't change. Rock isn't up and down, wishy-washy and dissolved, and like water, you know. Anything bumps it, it moves, right? It's solid. Verse 30 says, then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. They get where they're supposed to be with God. God brings them out and brings them into the place with him that they wanted to be, right? Oh, there it is again. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That'd be a good scripture to memorize. Oh, that men would. Oh, that we would. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. See, God's got power to do either way. He can make your soul like a watered garden, or he can dry you up. See? So we think we can get away with doing what we want to do. But we can't get away with it because God is God. And if we're in a wilderness experience tonight, we need to repent, cry out to God, and get ourselves around where we should be, where we can be in that, you know, stable situation, emotionally, spiritually, whatever way, see, right? Verse 36 says, and there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. See, a good dwelling place, a habitation. That's what he talked about earlier, what a place of habitation. He make it for us. And it says, and so the fields and plant vineyards which may yield fruits of increase, he blesseth them also so that they are multiplied greatly. Excuse me. And suffereth not their cattle to decrease. So it was all they went through this hard time, and then all of a sudden, God just blesses. But look at 39. It says again. Again. They are minished, or you could say diminished, and brought low through oppression. Anybody remember a scripture in Ecclesiastes? It says, a wise man, or oppression maketh a wise man mad. That's Ecclesiastes 7 and 7. Oppression maketh a wise man mad. What is oppression? Anybody know?
That's an outward force from the enemy.
That's right. Oppression. The devil comes along and he makes you feel feelings that are not good. Thoughts that are not good. And he continually oppresses you. Keeps constantly throwing those thoughts in your mind. Okay? And making you feel certain things and thinking certain things. That is oppression. Okay? It makes a wise man crazy or mad. See, it makes you go nuts. Right? You start doing things you wouldn't normally because you're oppressed. Yeah, well, that's part of it. But remember what the real answer is?
Calling out to God
and... You send his word. When you pray, you got to get in contact and find out where you got off the path. See,
to allow that actual spiritual oppression.
And he continues to oppress. Maybe one thing for oppression could be like being taxed, drained. You know, and finally, like you said, you can get depressed. It starts getting you down.
Yeah.
And then he enters in.
Right.
In other words, you yield to it.
It's almost like a three-stage thing, but we have the authority, like Gary said, if we would call on the Lord, we could actually stop it with the first, and the creation, really.
Yeah, if we'd oh that men would praise the Lord for His goodness,
and that would keep us from becoming depressed.
Uh-huh.
And we wouldn't have to worry about the last.
Yeah. Well, and we keep the prescription is doing what God wants us to do. You know, that's praising Him, and also praising Him includes something, and that's doing what He tells us to do. Being obedient to His word is praising the Lord. It's not just opening your mouth and saying praise the Lord, is it?
Mm-hmm.
That, no.
It's got to come from the heart and really sincere.
That's right. You said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I've told you to do? See, praising God is doing what He says to do. That you're magnifying God when you're doing what He wants you to do. You're praising the Lord. You say, well, I'm going to church tonight. Well, that's what you're doing. You're praising the Lord. You're obeying His voice. You're praising God. You're lifting Him up. You're saying, God, I'm doing what You want me to do. And I'm going to praise You. That's what I'm doing by doing that. Because what are you doing? You're valuing His word, are you not? You're putting it up high. And if you're praising His word, and you're obedient to His word, you're praising God. I mean, you can say praise the Lord, but are you really praising the Lord? You know? It's your life, what you're doing. That's right. The Word of God is an action. It's doing something for God. It's doing what He's told us to do. That keeps us from falling into trouble. That keeps us from falling into depression. It keeps us from being oppressed. It keeps us from sorrow. Right? It keeps us from a lot of things. It can keep you from all kinds of afflictions. You name it. It'll just keep you out of trouble. Right? He'll head you about if you're in the will of God. You know, a lot of people go through a lot of things. We go through a lot of things we wouldn't have to go through if we just listened. You know, and humbled ourselves when we did go through things and asked God, what's going on here? Have Him send His word to us. He says He sent His word and He healed them. Right? He sent His word and He healed them. That's how we get healed, by His word. Right? Okay, verse 40 says, He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Okay. He poureth disrespect. He poureth scorn on princes. In other words, He puts chastisement on us. He causes us to dwell in a wilderness where there is no way. There's no way this is going to work out. Why do we end up in the wilderness? Because we rebel, right? Yet setteth He the poor on high from affliction. Who are the poor? Well, that's what God said. Jesus said, blessed are the poor.
For theirs is the kingdom of
God, kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you poor, for yours is the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
poor. You have with you always, He said.
Well, the poor, yeah. Well, the poor. What He's really talking about, those that don't own anything.
Mm-hmm.
As far as what's with God, God owns them. They are not rebellious. You know, we think we have a right. And that we can do what we want to do. And that rebellion, we think we own something, or we've got a right. I can do this. Well, we think we can do something. That you know, or something we have belongs to me, when it really belongs to God. That will make you poor. You don't own anything. God owns it.
If we realize our source and realize He's the giver of all good.
Well, it's our own life. It's our what we want to do. What's our goals in our life? It could be in any area of our life. You say, well, I'm going to go to this church and that church and this church and that church. It could be anything like that. You know what I'm saying? And God says, I want you over here, you know, to serve me. And you say, well, I can serve you over there. I don't like it over there. Well, see, you're not your own. You really belong to God, and you become in rebellion. Then you get in trouble. Best way to get along with God is be real poor. Not own anything. Not my will. But thine, O God. See, God's trying to get us in this poor place that we might become rich. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction. See? You have to be able to surrender something. God wants something from you. That's why you're going through this affliction. He wants you to give up something that you haven't given up, that you think you have a right to, that you think you have, that you own. Right? Well, it could be anything, Carl. It's probably something spiritual in your life. It may be a relationship. It could be a friendship. It could be anything. But see, if something stumbles you, what are we supposed to do? Cut it off. It could be your television program. It could be anything. Radio program. You name it.
That could cover a large area of your life, really.
Anything in your life that you own. God wants you to give it up. He'll deal with you till you do. He'll make you, he'll afflict you. He'll chastise you. You know, he'll put you in the wilderness till you decide, well, there's no way out here. I'm not happy and I'm so sad and I'm unstable. I'm reeling to and fro like a drunkard. And I'm at my wit's end and so forth. Don't know what to do. You know, you're staggering. You're pulling your hair out. Don't know what. See, that's because there's somewhere in our life that God's dealing with us and wants us to surrender. See, surrender is the thing. And make yourself poor. See, he setteth the poor on high, see, from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. So, you know, in other words, you're in God's family, right? The righteous shall see it. Who do you say shall see it? The righteous. Those that are right with God. Those that are right standing with God, in agreement with God, shall see it and rejoice. And all iniquity shall stop her mouth. They'll shut up. See? Got it? He'll shut their mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, see, you look at these things, you observe these things, and be wise, even they shall understand. Excuse me, got it? Isn't that what we need? Is to understand the loving kindness of the Lord. In other words, you understand that God's dealing with us and that God is not being mean to us. He's what? Merciful and showing his loving kindness. Trying to teach us, to keep us from our own destruction. He deals with us as sons and daughters, does he not? He chastises those whom he loves. He lets you go ride those waves up and down, up and down. Why? Because he loves us. He commands the stormy wind. He commands the seas to rise. You know, why? To get you to be poor. Because, you know, you're poor. Yours is the kingdom of God. You know, if you're poor, if you're, you know, if you're surrendered it all to God, that's poor. Really sold out to God, that makes you poor. Makes you humble. Poor in spirit. See, you're humble. But when you think you own something and you're not willing to hang or let go of it, it will make you proud. And pride cometh before a fall. Right?
Yes.
It'll bring you low. When you don't take heed to God's word, it will bring you low. If God spoke to us tonight, you don't have to go to the wilderness. But if you don't listen, you're going to go to the woodshed. You're going to go to the wilderness. You're going to be riding the high seas and the storm, up and down, reeling to and fro at your wit's end, you know. And God's trying to say, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that they would keep in the spirit. Oh, that they would keep praising God and lifting him up and doing what he says to do. It'd keep us out of the woods. Right? The answer is to cry out to God. That's the answer. This is the key. It says, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. That's who's going to understand. Who's going to be blessed. Now you know how to stay out of trouble, don't you? When trouble comes, we usually know why, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, rebellion is most of the time, that's the reason why. If we're afflicted, now if we're, you can turn this thing in reverse. You're doing something for God. Well, trouble's going to come your way too, because Paul said, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But it's better to serve that kind, you know, have that kind of persecution than through disobedience. That's right. God wants, we're going to suffer, but why go through the things that we go through just because of rebellion? See, most of it, that's the reason why. I wish that every time we had a problem, it was because we were doing the will of God. Then we would really be on fire. It wouldn't be depressing you, right?
Right.
You wouldn't be ready to backslide and then going crazy, but you would be on fire for God, see? You know, a lot of these people that really suffer serious persecution, I'm sure that they find some consolation through their suffering, see? Because God will give it to them. Now they're suffering for God, you know, because they've been doing what God wants them to do. What's God going to add to that man? Ask Paul. You know, Paul received grace. You know, he still kept his joy. He didn't lose it because he suffered persecution. He was able to keep it because God gave him grace, see? But see, if you're suffering and you're going through things and you're about ready to go crazy and you're about ready to backslide or whatever, well, there's rebellion. That's what we've been rebellious. We're not listening to what God says. God's trying to deal with you to make you poor so you'll give up something instead of being rich in this world. See, people that you say, well, rich in this world, well, I don't own anything. Well, if you own you, you're rich. See, you got the riches of this world, your own mind, your own carnal desires. See, God wants you to sell that to make you poor so you might be blessed, see, that you might inherit the kingdom of God. That's the only way we're going to make it in. No rich people's going to heaven, not in that way, see, being rich in the world, rich, having the riches, you know what I mean, the carnal riches. I'm not talking about driving a Cadillac or money. I'm talking about you owning you. A rich man's really one that owns himself. He's not really surrendered himself to God. Because you could have all the money in the world and still, you know, be poor towards God. You know what I mean? You're poor in one sense that you gave it all to God. And really rich in Him. See, there's different ways of being rich and there's different ways of being poor. Best way, you know, is to be is being poor and being rich towards God, see, not owning anything. That makes you rich towards God. But when you are not selling out to God, that makes you rich in the world and poor spiritually. You know, you're in a dry place, you're in the woods, you're in the wilderness, you're going through a nasty time because you've been hanging on to something you ain't been willing to give up. You know, and he deals with this as sons and daughter, that we might, you know, really be blessed.